Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Josh Duggar's lawyers want you to know that Josh Duggar is the one who was wronged. I'm glad we've established that. Now we can all move on. They said it. It must be true. Must be that, you know. Well, not so much in those words, but that's the message. Delivered in 2026 after Josh's brother was arrested in Florida and charged with a life felony involving a girl who was 9 from a federal prison cell, 4 years into his own 12 and a half year sentence for crimes against children. Josh and his attorney released a statement. They thought it was a good idea. And the statement was about Josh, about how he lives with the painful reality of how false accusations can destroy a life, about how publicity can twist the truth into sensationalized fiction. Can you imagine being his attorney and keeping a straight face? I mean, I don't know. Consider who's saying it. A jury already convicted him. A federal judge refused to overturn that conviction. A federal appeals court upheld it. The Supreme Court of the United States said F off and declined to touch it. Four levels of the federal judiciary have now examined the case against Josh Duggar. Not one of them found a reason to disturb it. And Josh Duggar is still telling anyone who will listen that he's the person this happened to. Here's what's actually new. And it's a contradiction his own lawyers can't quite square up. Over a stretch of months in 26, Josh Duggar was moved, not once. He was pulled out of the facility where he'd spent most of his sentence and run through a federal medical center. Then he was staged at the government's main transfer hub. Then he was deposited at a low-security prison in Ohio, more than 800 miles from his wife and their 7 children in Arkansas. 4 facilities in one summer, 3 states, his attorney, a Chicago lawyer who once represented R. Kelly. You know you got it going on when your attorney once represented R. Kelly. Took that to a press conference with an explanation ready to go. The transfers, he said, are retaliation, payback, because Josh complained that guards were opening his legal mail. Ooh, he complained they're going to move him. And then telling Josh isn't an inmate being processed through the system. He's a whistleblower being punished by a vindictive one. Then there's the release date, and the release date tells a bit of a different story. When he was sentenced, Josh Duggar was projected to walk free in August of 2032. That date has now moved to October, and then it moved again now to December. Then it now sits in February 2nd of 2033, into the next year. 3 separate revisions, and here's the part that really matters. Every single one of them pushed the date later. Not one of them moved it up. In a federal system, a release date drifting in that direction again and again is not what happens to a model prisoner quietly running out his clock. The Bureau of Prisons won't explain any of it. It won't say why he keeps getting transferred, and it won't say why the date keeps sliding. It offers only that a projected release date can shift for a handful of reasons: good conduct credits, program credits, additional charges, or the loss of good time over disciplinary problems. A relative has stated publicly that Josh keeps landing back in solitary confinement over rule violations, and forfeiting credit as a result. The Bureau can't confirm that. It's an unverified account, but, you know, I think we can say it's probably pretty damn true. But set the two versions side by side and look what they really are. The lawyer's version is a press release, and it says the system is persecuting an innocent man. The other version is a number on a federal record, and that number has been revised 3 times, and it has never once been revised in Josh Duggar's favor. A press release is a thing a person writes. A release date is a thing a person earns or doesn't. And the number fits him better than the persecution story does, because working around the rule that stands in his way is the single most consistent thing Josh Duggar has ever done. It is the through line of his entire life. It started when he was a teenager, and it is going on now from a cell. In case you don't know the lovely story of this man, he was 15 at the time. 5 girls, according to the police report investigators finally documented years after the fact, 4 of them were his sisters. His parents did not call the police. They did not call a hotline. They took their son to a family acquaintance who happened to be an Arkansas state trooper. And that man gave the boy a stern talking about what would happen if he kept going, and then sent him home. No report filed, no state agency notified, and under Arkansas law, that trooper was legally required to report exactly what he'd been told, and he didn't. You'll find out why in a moment. That quiet in-house handling did something specific. It ran out the clock. By the time actual police opened an actual investigation, the window to charge Josh Duggar had already closed by a matter of months. And the trooper his parents trusted with their son is now serving 56 years in an Arkansas prison for the same category of crime. Here's what will happen if you keep doing this. Apparently, he didn't see the freight train coming at him either. That was the first thing ever built to stand between Josh Duggar and the consequences. A stern talk from a man who, it turned out, was doing it too. Josh walked straight through it. And the walking through never has really stopped. Move ahead a decade and a half. He's married, 7 kids. If you're like, oh, well, he ended up in prison. Not for that. No, he's scot-free on that one. That was never charged. Just discussed on television, you know. More or less admitted to. Move ahead a decade and a half. He's married, 7 kids. Job in Washington, running the lobbying arm of a conservative family values organization. I know the irony. At home, another thing built to stop him, accountability. Software installed in his devices, generating reports and sending them to his wife, because in the world he lived in, being watched was a whole arrangement. His filter settings were locked down tightly enough that a technology executive from the software company testified at trial that it should have been impossible for Josh Duggar to get around on those devices. It should have been impossible. So he made it possible. He built a second hidden operating system on the same machine, a partition the accountability software could not see into. And he did his downloading over there in the dark, on the side of the computer, where his wife's report simply went blank for 2 years. That software told him no over and over, and he did not stop. He did not slip. He thought he was going to outsmart it. He sat down and engineered the no anyway. That's not a man overwhelmed by a compulsion he can't control. That's a man running a project patiently around the people who trusted him. So the natural question about someone like this is the one anybody asks. Is he sorry? Has he changed? Does he take responsibility now? And the research on this is genuinely blunt. That is close to the wrong question to be asking. The largest analysis of its kind pooled 95 separate studies and more than 30,000 offenders, and it found that remorse, denial, psychological distress, and a stated desire for treatment barely predict whether a man reoffends. 2 things actually do. The first is what he is genuinely drawn to, as opposed to what he says. The second is whether he has a documented history of breaking rules and working around whatever is built to contain him. Josh Duggar has both. In writing, going back to the age of 15. And the statistics are even gentler on him than the truth is, because in every one of those studies, reoffending means getting caught. Run Josh Duggar's own life through that filter for 16 straight years. He was married, employed, respected, and flagged by no database anywhere on earth. On paper, a model of rehabilitation, a quiet success story. A federal jury later found that across those exact same 16 years in a computer at a used car lot that he owned, because surprise, he sold used cars. He was doing this the entire time. The apology was never the thing to watch. What a man does when he is convinced no one is looking, that is the thing, which is what makes one particular document so ugly. In 2025, Josh Duggar filed a motion asking for a new trial. A federal judge denied it. But the denial is not the point. The point is what he chose to argue in it. Some of it was ordinary. He argued that a part-time employee with computer skills might have been the real culprit. He argued that the government's lead forensic expert had doctored the evidence and lied under oath. He argued that the entire prosecution was politically motivated in a super conservative state, led by their buddies, the Huckabees. Yeah. It was all a conspiracy. All politically motivated. They don't add up. Two of his arguments are what kind of stop you. The first is that his trial was unfair in part because his sister's confidential records had been made public. His sister's, the same girls he admitted to harming when he was a teenager, their exposure, their childhood, dragged into the open, was something Josh Duggar formally listed in a federal filing as a harm that had been done to him. Their stories harmed him. Yes, they did, Josh, and they have every right to. The second reaches all the way back to 2015. That year, a statement went out under Josh Duggar's name. It admitted he had led a double life. It admitted he had been unfaithful to his wife. It admitted, in his own words, that he had acted inexcusably and hurt others. That statement ended his television show. It ended his public career. The entire country read it. And in 2025, in the motion, Josh Duggar tells a federal judge that he never wrote it. No, wasn't me. That television producers put those words in his mouth that the confession America watched him make was never actually his. Line it up and you can see exactly what he's doing in there. He's not serving a sentence. He's going back through his own life with an eraser. The evidence a jury saw was faked. The employee, nobody charged, did it. The prosecution was a political hit. His sister's pain has been quietly reclassified as his grievance. And the confession the nation read was somebody else's script. Every year that passes, Josh Duggar is a little less guilty than he was the year before in his mind. Give him enough of them, and in his own retelling, he walks out innocent. In a few years, he's going to be like a deity or something. Oh, God. Is that where he's going? He'll be a prophet soon? I wouldn't put anything past these people. And he does walk out on February 2nd of 2033, unless prison justice gets to him first. Whatever date that number finally drifts to, Josh Duggar leaves federal prison. He'll be in his mid-40s. He'll be a registered offender under long-term supervision. And any time he spends with one of his own children, who is still a minor, will legally have to be supervised by another adult. That is the entire apparatus that will stand between Josh Duggar and a child, a parole officer, and a chaperone. Contrast that with what his sisters did. When their brother Joseph was arrested, the Duggar women spoke, Jill, Jessa, Ginger, Jana, Joey, Anna, one after another, and every single statement was about the 9-year-old girl, her healing, her family, what she is owed. Joseph Duggar has pled not guilty. to his crimes. He is presumed innocent, and none of the allegations against him have been tested in a courtroom yet, but faced with the news of a child allegedly hurt, his sisters thought first about the child. Another Duggar doing the same sort of shit. Faced with the very same news from his cell, their brother thought about himself. That's almost always how it runs. The people who are harmed spend the rest of their lives carrying the person who harmed them. It goes the other direction almost never. Josh Duggar should never again be trusted to be alone with a child, not because he hasn't apologized. The apology was worthless the first time, and it's worthless now because he's gone back and taken it away. He should never be trusted again for the reason the record has been screaming for 23 years. Every single time somebody built something to stand between this man and what he wanted, he found a way around it. A family friend instead of police, a hidden partition instead of a software. His own wife was reading. A motion to unwrite his confession instead of serving the time a jury gave him every single time. He's not going to stop looking for a way around the wall. It is the one thing about Josh Duggar that has never changed, and it is the only thing that has ever reliably told you what he will do next. The only question left is whether anyone is still watching when he gets out. Joseph's next. Want to hear the latest on him? Press subscribe. We're going to drop that one tomorrow. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There was a family in Arkansas that did the one thing the Duggars have never done when they learned a child had been harmed. They went to the police. Imagine that. Their last name is Coldwell, and their father is a Baptist pastor, and his daughter is married to Joseph Duggar. For making that call, the Caldwells were driven out of their home, allegedly, that they had lived in for years and left to start over. And the heaviest thing they lost was not the house. It was something no eviction notice covers. The other side of that family handles its own very differently. 7 days after his son was booked into a jail cell in Washington County, Arkansas, Jim Bob Duggar sat down and wrote him an email. A father writing to his son accused of harming a 9-year-old girl. A YouTuber later obtained it through public records request. And in the middle of it, before any plea, before any trial, before anyone had said a single word to that child, Jim Bob wrote this. You made some terrible decisions, but God has already forgiven you, if you've asked him. Already. He wrote it in the past tense. Forgiveness issued in advance. Remember, he's holding the umbrella, so he must know everything. Forgiveness issued in advance by a man who was not the one harmed on behalf of a girl nobody thought to ask. Earlier in that same email, Jim Bob told his son he was so sorry for what he was going through. He described his son's situation the way you would describe weather. It's exactly one thing in that email that Jim Bob Duggar calls ridiculous. Joseph Duggar is 31 years old. He was the seventh of Rosemary's babies. Jim and Michelle Duggar's 19 children. And he grew up on television. First on 19 Kids and Counting, then on its spinoff, Counting On. He was arrested in Taneytown, Arkansas, and extradited to Bay County, Florida, where he faces two felony counts, one of them involving a child under 12. It's classified under Florida law as life felony. A life sentence is legally on the table. He's, of course, pled not guilty. And he's entitled to that plea and to the presumption that comes with it. Here is what the Bay County Sheriff's Office says happened. A girl who is now 14 sat down for a forensic interview and described several incidents during a family vacation to Panama City Beach in 2020, where she was 9 And according to the affidavit, the incident stopped after he apologized to her. She told her father. Her father confronted Joseph Duggar directly, and according to the affidavit, Duggar admitted it. Tinytown police then had the father call him back with the detective listening in, and according to that same affidavit, he admitted it a second time. He reportedly said his intentions were not pure. It makes your skin crawl. And I have said this before, it would take every ounce in me, if I were that father or if I were the officer right there, to not pull out a revolver and just, not pure with a 9-year-old. Well, guess what's not going to be pure now? My white wall, because your brains are all over it. He posted a $600,000 bond and went home to Arkansas. Jim Bob paid for it. It's a second case waiting for him in Arkansas, and it carries 4 counts. 4 is not a random number. Now, you'd expect this family to close ranks. That's been the Duggar reflex for 20 years, and it's a large part of why the name means what it means. It did not happen this time. Most of the siblings actually condemned him outright. Jason Duggar, one of Joseph's younger brothers, did not hedge a word. We are disgusted to hear the news about my brother, he wrote. However, this isn't about how it's impacted our lives, he said. He was praying the court system would do its job, and Ginger said something on her podcast that may have landed harder than she meant it to. She said, "You cannot be prepared for news like this." I beg to differ, Ginger. I think you can. I think you might. Your family has a few reps in this department. I think you can prepare for this, knowing the environment y'all came up in. But again, I don't know. I'm not you. Call me crazy, though. I think this might be a possibility. Even though her family had already been through something very similar with one of the other siblings. Can't prepare. Bullshit. The generation raised inside that house is the generation naming what happened inside it. That sharpens the question considerably. If the siblings broke, then who is left holding the line? Oh, Jim Bob and Michelle answered through a spokesperson. They said they were heartbroken over the entire situation, that they were focused on loving their family and keeping Kendra and her children, helping Kendra and her children. That statement names their family. It names Kendra. It names Kendra's kids. Doesn't name Kendra's sister, the victim. The girl appears once as a line item that they're praying for, and then gone, poof. This is where most people misread the mental gymnastics. They assume the family is defending Joseph's innocence. I would say some are not. Jim Bob's email never claims his son didn't do it. It says he made terrible decisions. It tells him he is probably going to face major consequences for several years to come. It compares him to the biblical David, who Jim Bob says royally messed up and then repented. It compares him to his own biblical namesake, who also in prison. And it tells him he can make lemonade out of lemons. Jim Bob Duggar appears to believe it happened, and he pre-forgives it anyway. That's the machine, and it is far more airtight than defending innocence would ever be. It does not require you to believe he didn't do it. It requires you to believe the matter has already been settled between him and God, which means it's no longer the court's business. It's no longer your business, and it certainly is no longer hers. She's not a party to that transaction. She's the occasion for it, in that line of twisted thinking, straight out of the ILBP. And here's the part that should really disturb you. The logic was not invented by Jim Bob in a jailhouse email. It's the same logic the affidavit says his son had already used on the child herself. What he did to her stopped after he apologized. An apology, and the matter is closed. He ran that play on a 9-year-old in 24 on a 9-year-old years ago. Harmed her, apologized, considered it closed. His father simply moved it up to God. That brings me back to the one thing Jim Bob called ridiculous. Remember that in the letter? The day after Joseph's arrest, Tunnytown police and the Arkansas Department of Human Services searched the family home. 2 days after his arrest, they charged and arrested his wife, Kendra. And in the same email where Jim Bob told his son that God had already forgiven him, he wrote this: "It is ridiculous that they charged Kendra and arrested her. We've hired a lawyer to help Kendra. We're praying that we get her charges dropped." The word he reached for was ridiculous. He did not apply it to the conduct. He did not apply it to the charge his son is facing. He applied it to an arrest. The grievance always points at the system. It never points at whatever put them in front of the system. Josh Duggar's attorney has told reporters that his client's prison transfers are punitive, in the same reflex running through a different son's lawyer. And none of it is improvised. This protocol has been run before, and it's produced precisely what you would expect it to produce. Josh Duggar is serving 12 and a half years in federal prison. He was convicted in December of 21 of receiving CSAM, illegal material. You know what it is. But that was the second time the family had to deal with him. The first time was 20 years earlier, and how they handled it is the reason that we are standing here today. In 2006, Jim Bob told Springdale police that Josh had harmed five underage girls between 2002 and 2003 when Josh was 14 and 15. Four of them were his own sisters. Years later, testifying at Josh's federal trial, Jim Bob admitted under oath that he had tried to handle things in-house. Those are his own words, under oath in federal court. 16 months after Josh's first confession, Jim Bob took his son to a family acquaintance for what the police report calls a stern talk. That acquaintance was an Arkansas state trooper named Joseph Hutchins. Under Arkansas law, a law enforcement officer who learns that a child has been harmed like that is a mandated reporter. Hutchins filed nothing. He gave the boy a talk to and sent him on home. And then he went to prison shortly after. That July 2003 conversation started the clock, and by the time Springdale police opened a real investigation in December of 06, the statute of limitations had already expired 5 months earlier. No charges could be brought against Josh Duggar for any of it. Joseph Hutchins is now serving 56 years in an Arkansas prison. Not for that, but because he pled no contest to 10 counts involving illegal material depicting children that he was into. Jim Bob seems to have a trend of really weird friends, really disturbed friends. Wonder what that's all about. The man Jim Bob Duggar chose to handle it in-house is in prison for the same category of harm he was brought in to handle. So let's do the actual accounting here. If the accusations against Joseph Duggar are true, here is the bill you have to be willing to pay to keep standing behind him. So anybody, and there's a lot of people who are still standing behind him in that community. He's pled not guilty. No jury has heard a word of it yet. But here's what you have to be okay with. You have to be okay with calling two confessions something a man is going through. Oh. You have to be okay with forgiveness handed out by people who are not harmed for a child who was never asked. You have to be okay with the word abandoned. Joseph Duggar's attorney filed a motion asking a Florida judge to let his client come within 500 feet of the girl's home. The stated reason was that the girl and their family had abandoned the residence and were, in the language of the filing, no longer residing at the previously listed address. He listed six properties he owns in that area. Two of them vacant. He wanted to do interior painting, install carpet, repair sheetrock, replace tile flooring, mow and landscape. And of course, he's the only one who can do it. And of course, he needs to be close to the house where the victim lived. Wanted to go cut the grass. That house was empty for a reason. The girl's reportedly connected to Kendra's family, the Caldwells. Kendra's father, Paul Caldwell, is the Baptist pastor. The Caldwells are the ones who called it in. Reportedly evicted in March from the Duggar-owned home that they had lived in since 2021. Paul Caldwell launched a fundraiser seeking $40,000 to cover displacement costs. He left his job. The utilities were cut. The family said they were no longer feeling safe and that their belongings went into storage. They didn't abandon the house. They were put out of the house for all intents and purposes, in most people's opinions. And then their displacement was typed into a court filing and used as the legal argument for why the man they reported should be allowed to get closer to it. The judge denied it. He ruled that Joseph Duggar could send an employee to mow. You have to be okay with four counts. Joseph and Kendra Duggar are each charged in Arkansas with four counts of second-degree endangering the welfare of a minor and four counts of second-degree false imprisonment. The charges came out of that home search. The source close to the family told People they came down to a home inspection and the door locks. Being on the exterior of the doors, Joseph and Kendra Duggar have four children. They're between the ages of 3 and 7. The door locks are reversed to be able to keep them locked in like caged animals. Allegedly. There are four counts because there are four children. The locks were on the outside. Authorities have never publicly said how those locks were used or how often, or both have pled not guilty. One can only guess. And that's the arrest that Jim Bob called ridiculous. So you got to be okay with that. You have to be okay with what happened in a Florida courtroom in June. Joseph's attorney asked for unsupervised contact with his own four children after, you know, he has the unpure thoughts with a 9-year-old, and now, hey, I want to hang out with my own kids. Yeah, great idea, right? No. Argue that his children are not the accused in the Florida case. I would argue that you say that about any child. You should probably be, again, brains on the wall. The prosecutor agreed with that, and he pointed out that the court, that those same four children are the ones named in the Arkansas counts. The motion for access to the four children was defeated by the four children, supervised contact only. You have to be okay with who paid for all of it. The bond was $600,000, and $500,000 of that was attached to the life felony count alone. Jim Bob wrote the check. The money that wrote it came from a decade of television built on a single promise that this is what a godly family produces. The image was always the product, not just any image, the wholesome, God-fearing, courtship and modesty Christian family sold on basic cable as the model the rest of us were supposed to study. America bought it by the season. Two of the sons that image was built around have now faced criminal charges involving kids. When the product failed, the family did not examine the image. It ran the same protocol that produced the failure. Look at the two booking photos of these jackasses side by side. Josh Duggar smiling in his. Joseph Duggar smiling in his. Two sons of the same family arrested years apart on charges involving children. Both of them smiling for the camera. It's what a lifetime of performing a wholesome image trains into a person. That smile holds no matter what is happening behind it. The next generation is watching all this. There's dozens of them. As a condition of his release, Joseph Duggar cannot have unsupervised contact with any minor. That covers his own four children. It also covers his two youngest siblings. What a Duggar grandchild is watching unfold is a family whose first instinct is to protect the adult and whose first emotion is anger at the people who made the call. The Caldwells made the call. That is what they said afterwards. Our love for this child remains at the forefront of our family's priorities and our minds. We are proud of her for being strong enough to share her story. Looks like her own sister is not. Because her own sister, as of now, has chosen the alleged predator. And this is what it costs them. It costs them their home. It costs Paul his job. It costs them their daughter. Kendra has stood by her husband, and according to Us Weekly, she's not communicating with her family at all. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe she's just a lost soul. Maybe there's nothing really there to be found at the end of the day. Some people are like that. Maybe she's just as empty a vessel as he is. It is what it is. There's only so many hands that can be held out for so long to offer her the opportunity to step up and escape. And if you choose it to say no for long enough, then guess what? You're just as effed up as the rest. A friend of the Caldwells begged the Duggars to let her go. And put it about on the bluntest terms available. Don't make her another Anna. That is how the fold works. The people who got out, the siblings who condemned him, the family that went on to the police, can see it clearly the moment they're standing outside of it. The people still inside apparently cannot. Kendra is still inside. So are the parents who paid the bond and called the arrest ridiculous. The system does not hold people by convicting or convincing them nothing is wrong. It holds them by convincing them that whatever is wrong has already been forgiven, already been handled, already been settled with God. Once you believe that, there's nothing left to leave over. She was 9. She carried it for 5 years, and she told her father, and her father did the one thing nobody in the Duggar family did in 2003, or ever. He called the police. A return hearing in the Florida case is set for September 15th. Depositions are being scheduled. Joseph Duggar's attorney told the court there are 5 witnesses in the case. One of those 5 is her. She's going to have to say it out loud in a courtroom in front of the man she says did it. And in front of a family that decided a long time ago that God had already settled the matter. God's forgiveness was never the thing standing between that girl and justice. A jury is. And she's still waiting for one. But if you believe, there is a God standing between the Duggars and their own salvation. And their choices, if you believe, probably matter. We'll see who gets through the gate. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. The links are right there in the description. Press subscribe. We do appreciate it. I appreciate it. Let's keep exposing the monsters. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.